Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Did I jinx the Astros yesterday, Seth, by having a segment where we said, when is the next time this team's going to lose a series?
No, you didn't, because okay. I thought that I, as a sane and rational one, injected a little bit of reason into the argument, yeah. In which I said, hey, they'll probably lose. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose games to bad teams, because mm-hmm. that's what good baseball teams do. Yep. It's always a little bit flukish to go as long as you have without losing a series. So they're not that they've lost this series.
No, they haven't lost it yet. Yeah,
right. Sure. So, but the biggest thing, because I immediately heard, I heard the text coming through, Sean, when I woke up this morning at 3:30 a.m. I could hear them. I could hear people warming their thumbs up to say, "I told you, the Astros always play down to bad competition." Yeah. To which I'll reiterate what I said yesterday, which is, who exactly is playing down to the bad There's no, if you try to apply sense or reason to this Astros team and the success they've had, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because we look at yesterday, okay, the Astros have a getaway day lineup to the extreme in the first game of a series. And who played down? I mean, Altuve is the only guy you could look at of the various
their best guy
actual major leaguers on that roster. Altuve went 0 for 4 or 0 for 5, whatever he went. But you got a bunch of AAA call-ups.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of guys. You've got Kennedy Corona making his major league debut.
That was fun. Okay,
that was a lot of fun.
That was fun yesterday. His
wife was crying when he took his first walk.
Yes.
As a major leaguer in his first at-bat.
It was really cool, man.
The crowd gave him a huge ovation.
He's
a popular dude.
Yes. Very
popular.
Not to mention
he's got, he's Venezuelan, so he's got the little brother to Altuve effect going on.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
The guy's been in the organization since Jake Marisnyk was traded away.
I didn't know that. He's part of the Marisnyk trade.
Oh, I've always had, there's been a part of, I've had to fight against any kind of, animosity I would have over them trading away Marisnyk.
I know Marisnyk is a very popular figure in your household, yes.
Marisnyk went and, not because of Brandy, because of me.
Yeah.
He's my platonic male crush.
That's fine.
So he's the guy I wish I could be. I was like, that's a guy I'd rather. Yeah, I don't even want to be an actually great baseball player. Oh. I just want to play with the flair and charisma and good looks of Jake
hair
Marisnyk.
And all. Yeah,
like, yes. There's
a lot I would trade for Jake Marisnyk's head of hair.
You ever see pictures of Jake Marisnyk from before he had long hair?
No.
What a boring white dude. Yeah, and he grew the hair out, and they're like, oh my gosh, this guy's a Greek god.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's funny, that dynamic, the long hair dynamic, relievers, it's like, oh, this guy, if he's good, you're like, this guy has kind of got a wild vibe to him, like Ryan Stanek when he was good.
Yeah.
But when Brian King comes in, or last night Okert comes in and poops the bed, like, oh, cut your hair.
Okert's no Stanek.
Cut
I know
hair.
Him. I like. I don't
he's
like the
good.
Cut of your jib.
They've
son.
All been good.
Damn hippies.
I was
yeah, get your get a job,
dude. I
At least do your job.
Do your job. Yeah, yeah. Patrick Creighton framed it perfectly yesterday going into the game.
Yeah.
He said the Astros' actual defensive alignment today, and this is last night's lineup. And I would imagine tonight's lineup is going to be very, very similar, because I don't know that any of the guys that were the big names that were out last night are coming back tonight. I don't know if Christian Walker is only on a one-day paternity leave. I don't know what this calf is with Jake Myers, and we know Yordan and Pena are on the IL right now.
Yeah. Back in my day, your wife goes into labor a week before the All-Star break. She crosses her legs and holds it in.
So, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey.
How long was she in labor for? 8 days.
8 days until the All-Star break.
That's right.
Do you understand the streak her husband is on? 12 for 28.
America's,
8 RBIs over 6 games.
America's gotten soft. Defensive alignment for yesterday's game. Left field, minor leaguer. Center field, minor leaguer making his MLB debut. Right field rookie, that would be Cam Smith. Third base, actual starter, Paredes. Shortstop, minor leaguer, that would be Zach Short. I like when Creighton puts, at second base, you're starting left fielder.
I know. Altuve is making a good case that he might be able to make the transition to second base.
Second base,
threw a Jamoke out at home on the money.
He did.
Put it on the cash, as Alex Bregman might say.
He did. Backup catcher at first base, Caratini. You got Yiner at catcher, so that's something.
And he's a starter.
Your DH is a minor leaguer. Well, the thing about Yiner, your DH is a minor leaguer. The thing about Yiner, he's an actual big leaguer. He was also your cleanup hitter last night, and he's got an OPS of like 684 or something like that.
Yeah, so that's where, I know, you guys, you can say I told you so all you want about the Astros playing down to teams. Stop trying to make sense. It's like you're trying to use Newtonian physics to explain quantum physics.
Yes.
This team is quantum physics. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they're playing the best team in the league, the worst team in the league, whatever it might be. I would say if you showed me the Astros lineup last night at the beginning of the season and you tell me, hey, they're about to go up against a major league team that's lost how many in a row, Sean?
10 going into last night.
10 in a row.
Yeah.
I would say good luck to these guys. Yeah. I don't know. It's a minor league squad going up against major leaguers.
You know what I would have told you if I saw this lineup? If you had shown me this lineup in March and you had said, on July 7th, this is the lineup the Astros are going to trot out there against the Guardians, I would have said that they pushed the button on a rebuild. That's what I would have said. I would have, because there's no Pena in there. There's no Yordan Alvarez in there. It's minor leaguers all over the place. If you'd show me on March 28th or something, you tell me what you think the Astros season looks like right now with this as their lineup on July 7th. I'm telling you nothing else. This is their lineup. That lineup I just described to you. I would have said that this was a horrific first half of the season where Hunter Brown turned into a pumpkin again and Fromber's not pitching well. Lance McCullers didn't come back. All these things. I would have said that they've hit the button on a rebuild. The Pena and Yordan, I would have said they're just trying to accumulate as much stuff as they can. Which would have been bad decisions because obviously Pena and Yordan are under great contractual situations right now.
Yeah.
But it highlights the fact that there's no explanation for the fact that, no, the answer is they've had a bunch of injuries. I would have accepted that. I said, okay, they have a bunch of injuries. What's their record? Oh, they're 19 games over 500. What the hell? You know, like my first guess would have been rebuild. My second guess would have been injuries. My next guess would not have been 55-36 leading the division by 7 games. That would not have been my next guess.
This team has driven me to Eastern philosophy, Sean. I've just been sitting around trying not to question things.
Wondering.
And just accept them.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just trying to go with the flow of the river, Sean, and just understand where that's right. That's right. Then it doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
Got to see Hector Neris. Got to see Caleb Ort. Yay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes.
I like seeing Neris and Kennedy Corona. Those are my two favorite moments last night. And Taylor Trammell, his first major league hit. See, that's where I really, really wanted the Astros to win that game last night so that I could listen in on Cleveland this morning on their 11th straight loss and having the catalyst to the Astros' comeback be a guy who'd never gotten a hit before, hit a 3-run homer to get the Astros back in the game. And then Paredes doinks one off of the Chick-fil-A foul pole there later in the inning to tie the thing up. I really thought they were going to win that thing last night.
Oh, no, who had never gotten a hit before?
Taylor Trammell, I don't think.
First hit with the Astros?
For the Astros, I think. I guess,
okay,
yeah,
yeah,
I think.
Right,
it was
you.
First
yeah.
something. I was
No, first hit with the Astros.
The Astros.
I mean, he's been in the league a while.
Yeah, with the Astros. That's what I meant. Because that would have been sheer misery for Cleveland. But instead, I did listen in a little bit. They were They were not buying in very much on that win meaning much last night. They're like, they beat a good team, but I don't recognize any of these guys.
Right, right. Oh, Sean, I got, you know, so the Astros had 15 guys on the IL as of yesterday. Plus, I guess, Christian Harris, or I don't know, or Christian Walker. But that's been the most annoying things about the way the Dodgers have been handling getting swept by the Astros. Yeah. They immediately, like, I've been looking at my comments, which I shouldn't have, because I had a post that kind of went viral. So I got all these Dodgers fans in my comments, and unanimously, they were like, well, how, what's the, we're injured. Yeah. Don't you know we're injured? I'm like, did you guys even watch the games?
Yeah.
Like, did your commentators not mention anything at all? Are you telling me that you, like, that you know these guys who are playing for the Astros?
Yeah.
And that you're, oh, yeah, Cooper Hummel, of course. Well, our injuries have kept us from playing against the likes of Zach Short and Cooper Hummel. What the hell are you talking about? You got two actual major league pitchers, plus a half a major league pitcher in Lance McCullers.
Right.
And a bunch of young guys and rookies and journeymen out there. That's what was so impressive about everything the Astros have done so far. So I know I'm not going to freak out about a loss to the Guardians, in which you were playing largely a minor league roster.
Dodger fans are the worst.
Yeah.
They're the worst. They're the worst because they're the combination of the worst fans. They are the entitled rich kid fan,
yeah,
and they're the fan that will hit you over the head with a wrench at the game and beat you up 4-on-1, beat you up outside of the stadium. Like, they're the worst. Yeah. Like, it would be bad if you had one or the other. They're both. You know what I mean? Like, they are like, they're like the entitled Beverly Hills kid had sex with some thug, and then it spits out this Dodger fan. You know, that's what it is. It spits out a Dodger
it's
fan.
It's a mafioso married a Hollywood rich kid.
And they're just,
they're
entitled. Yeah. They are entitled sociopaths is what they are. Entitled rich kid sociopaths.
And they play, and that's, again, they spend 50% more on their players and on their roster than the
right.
Astros
entitled.
Do. The Astros ain't cheap.
Entitled.
So, and they're sitting there like, oh, yeah, but we have our injury. Yeah, Tyler Glasnow's been injured since 1993.
Exactly.
I was like, you spend a boatload of money on guys who are injured all the time. You just went and Anthony Davis yourself.
Man,
yeah.
Yeah.
I hate them all.
Text message.
Good morning, everybody. Eastern philosophy.
My takeaway. Yep. That's right. Zen. Zen. There's no why. It just is. Okay.
Yes.
Don't go
yes.
searching for the why. It just is. Text message. My takeaway from yesterday is Sean may need to spend his October in Jamaica. I'll have you know I'm at the game tonight. All right. I'm going to be there live. If you think I'm the reason they lost, it's going to be amped up significantly tonight. I'll be in the building. So be prepared. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Up next, Rafael Stone met with the media yesterday on trading Cam Whitmore, on welcoming back Clint Capella, and on trading Jalen Green. We'll hear from the Astros. The Rockets GM coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Rafael Stone met with the media yesterday.
Yay!
It's the Kevin Durant trade. We've known about it for 2 weeks, but it didn't become official until Sunday. It turns out it was a 7-team trade. Everybody got involved in it.
I ignored all the news. It didn't really register until the trade was official.
Till the trade, yes. Yeah, Seth,
I was like,
waits.
Oh, this thing's really happening.
Seth is somebody
okay.
who goes by the business year. Like, until it's done, I don't even want to hear about it.
I'll tell you what. If there was ever anything that was going to fall through after things had been agreed upon, but it couldn't be made official yet, if there was ever anything that was going to fall through, it might be a 7-team trade.
Well, that's dude. I think about, like, what if one of these players, not if we get morbid about this, but, like, what if one of the players involved gets hit by a bus 2 days before the start of the league year? Like, what?
Well, I know. That guy would screw everything up.
Are we trading his corpse in the deal? Like, what's going on?
This jackass was looking at his cell phone as he was crossing the street.
Right.
You know?
To see
and that bus
traded.
Driver's got to live with it the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I'm even though it's not his fault. Yeah, I know. No, it's with a 7-team trade, you're just waiting for at some point, basically, it's like the car salesman saying, like, so you want the rust proofing, right?
Yeah.
Can't do it without the rust proofing. They're like, oh, no, wait, I thought we had a deal. Nope, you got to get the rust proofing.
You're going to ruin this 7-team trade if you don't get the rust proofing. So it's the deal's done. Kevin Durant is a Rocket. Jalen Green out the door. Here is Raphael Stone, who drafted Jalen Green. And I think the Rockets drafted Jalen Green with the thought that he would be the face of this franchise 4 years after being in the league. Instead, he is the key component going out in a trade for one of the best players of all time in Kevin Durant. Here's Raphael Stone yesterday on trading Jalen Green.
Was it a difficult decision to move on from Jalen Green?
Yeah, like Jalen's awesome. He did everything we asked. He's a wonderful combination of talent and work ethic, along with being just a great human being. And any time that you have the privilege to work with someone who is talented and works really hard and is really nice, you should value it. And so for organizationally, we've valued him tremendously. So, yeah, very hard.
Yeah, I believe every word of that. I think they wanted Jalen Green to be the guy who is going to lead them to whatever it is they're hoping they experience these next couple
years. It's honestly probably one of the hardest things to do as a general manager or as a coach is to try to just really objectively look at, all right, what is this guy? What did we hope that he would be? Like, we've seen 4 years of it. At what point do you just move on from a decision?
Yep.
And or because it's not like they're moving on from Jalen Green, obviously. You're bringing in Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But you are. I think I'm in the same place as maybe the majority of Rockets fans, in which, look, yes, Jalen Green obviously has a lot of value to a basketball team, but I'd abandoned any thought that he was going to be a genuine superstar at some point, which is fine. It's not like that's a huge flaming indictment of the guy or anything. It was that, okay, this guy's not going to be Kobe Bryant. You know, like, that's not the worst crime in the world.
Nope.
But it's just you got to make your decisions more rationally and without being infused with hope and aspirations necessarily.
Yeah, Jalen Green's not a bust. You know, thing. It's like he's the second overall pick, and if the goal for him, Seth, was that we want him to be the best player on a championship team, it didn't work out. He's not the best player, and I don't think he ever will be the best player on a championship team. But the blow is cushioned by the fact that, yes, Kevin Durant is coming back in the freaking Kevin Durant is coming back in the trade. And two, the other picks you've made, I think have all worked out to a degree that you're cool with it or very, very cool with it. Like, you traded into that same draft, you traded back into the first round with OKC to draft Alperen Şengün. He's an all-star. You drafted him at 16. He's an all-star. Jabari Smith is fine at 3. I know Paolo Banchero just got like a max deal yesterday. Jabari Smith got $125 million for the same amount of time. I'm more comfortable with the Jabari contract at $125 million than paying Paolo Banchero $60 million a year, but that's a separate topic. Jabari's been fine. Fine enough where you extended him for 5 years. Tari Eason has been at 17. Great at 17. And then obviously Amen Thompson, I think, has the potential to be a top 10 player in the league. So the fact that, A, you're getting Kevin Durant, B, Jalen Green was a good player. He just wasn't a great player. And C, everything else is working out around this. Is like, okay, this, it should make it easy. The only thing that should be hard for Raphael Stone is if there is an emotional tie to this was the first guy. That's the first guy I ever drafted as the Rockets GM. You know, like, it's.
Yeah.
But I think Raphael Stone is able to do a very good job of divorcing himself and separating the emotional part. Like a lot of these quasi-analytic GMs are, you know?
I really liked the first three words, or the first word of that response, where, Ben, can we
cue it up again.
I apologize, Ben. I know it's hard to cue these things.
Yeah, like, Jalen's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we need.
Was it hard?
We need. We need that. That's our. For anytime we need a yes, that'll be our yes. And anytime we need a no, it'll be Rafael Devers.
Yeah. Was it hard to trade Jalen Green?
Yeah. Was it hard?
What was the easiest decision?
Was it hard to trade Cam Whitmore though?
No.
There we go. Hey, in fact, now that's not what he said. To be fair, here's what Raphael Stone said about trading Cam Whitmore yesterday.
I just think, yeah, we're just not a developmental team right now. It's really like we wanted to provide Cam with the opportunity to do in his career what we still believe he very much can do. So I think Cam's insanely talented, really nice young man, and wanted to provide him an opportunity to go home and be in a situation where he could really play through mistakes in a way that we never could afford him just in the iteration of the Rockets that he joined.
See, this is another one where I'm not kidding. Like, there's people that are upset that they only got 2 second-round picks for the 20th pick in the draft a couple years ago in Cam Whitmore. And I can't get upset about this. Like, I can't.
No, it's
look at where this team is right now.
There's the physical upside there is huge, obviously. But there's a reason he fell with all of that ability and upside. There's a reason he fell to 20th in the draft.
Yeah.
And then you get the other dynamic where this is where it's interesting. I'm watching that Damian Pierce interview that Texans Radio did with him yesterday. Texans Radio is smart. They did that Damian Pierce interview like. A couple weeks ago.
Oh, did they?
And they rolled out a few last week of guys that weren't going to get as many kids, like Lake and Tomlinson and everything. Yeah. And they waited until Monday after the 4th of July to put the Damian Pierce one out
there. Yeah,
he's
good.
Because he's going to be a popular one.
Yep.
So, but I'm watching Damian Pierce, and a lot of it just goes into, man, there's some guys that would have been better served by being non-first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Damian is wired in such a way that it's been a really challenging couple of years for him. It just hasn't worked out the same way it did his rookie year. Yeah. But he's also a guy that doesn't have the lofty expectations or pressure necessarily of a first-round pick. And he's been a model citizen when it comes to kind of fighting through the adversity. With Cam Whitmore, he's acted as if he is constantly put out by the fact that he's not getting more playing time. Mm-hmm. To the point where the reports are that Udoka just couldn't get this guy to buy into the team mentality and everything.
Yep.
So it was a bad fit for a lot of reasons, and that maybe Cam Whitmore in a new setting and with different circumstances, maybe it'll be good for him. But it was the wrong fit at that moment. Like, you just don't have – your roster is too packed with – really good guys who do it the way Udoka wants them to do it to work on a rehab project or some kind of, you know, trying to get a guy's mind right, all of that. It wasn't going to work.
Yeah, it's the Stone put it yesterday, the way he put it. I don't know if we have this cut or not. We're going to play another cut from here in a second. Maybe it's part of this, but he said when he was asked about Whitmore, he said, "We're not a developmental team anymore. You know, we're not a team where guys are going to get 30 minutes just so they can become better young basketball players. We are, it's winning time." You know, like, it's, there's, so there was a, the Rockets lived through a time where it was all developmental. We're going to win 20 games, but Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün and Tari Eason and Jabari Smith Jr. and Amen Thompson are all going to become better basketball players for the losing. So, yeah, that's not the team they are anymore.
And with Whitmore, like, I don't know anything about him personally, and obviously I'm not at practices or anything, but it from the outside looking in with the things that have been reported about it and with the way Cam Whitmore has talked about it himself,
openly,
you know, kind of airing a lot of stuff that should be kept in-house and making it public drama, there's an element sometimes with players where they keep looking at the coach like, hey, how come I'm not getting this chance? How come I'm not getting this chance? And the coach is telling him, look, you're competing against these guys on your team. I need to see you do this better. I need to see you do that better.
Yep.
And in the player's brain, they just can't get it out of their head that they're somehow being screwed over.
Yep.
Instead of, like, really just turning it into the challenge that it is and figuring out a way to earn your way onto the floor.
Yep.
That's what it looks like to me from the outside looking in.
Yep.
And it's hard when you're a culture guy like Udoka that is one of the very few coaches that seems to be competent at actually building a culture. You can't just sacrifice everything that you do to build a culture for that one guy.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I'm trying to really figure out where the fans are at. Like, at what point At what point in the chain here with Cam Whitmore are they angry with? Are you angry that they only got 2 second-round picks back? Because that's the league speaking on Cam Whitmore. You know, like, that's what he is. If you're mad that they drafted him with the 20th pick, knowing that there was this baggage, that's the reason he was at 20, Seth. Like, he was supposed to be a top five pick. He's at 20 because of the attitude issues. I don't have an issue with this. You take a swing, you get the guy in the building, you hope that maybe he matures. I mean, this is a sport where they're drafting guys at 18 and 19 years old. You do a lot of maturing from the age of 18 to 22. You hope that maybe he gets in, he matures a little bit. And it didn't happen with him. So be it. You know, that's why you have 7 first-round picks through a 4-year period.
I mean, I've never been mad at the Astros for drafting Royce White back in the day. Royce White
Rockets,
had issues.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Astros.
Oh, they didn't do it at all. Credit to the Astros. That was when they started turning things around. They said, you know what? No. That's not the guy for us right now. We're not going to take Royce White.
We knew what
you
meant.
But Royce White back in 2012, 13, whenever he got drafted, that was a guy that physically was better than a 16th overall pick, but he had issues, you know, so you take a chance on it, doesn't work out. Like, all right, it's your 16th overall pick. It's not a lottery.
And you can and in that particular draft, they had 3 first round picks, that Royce White draft. That was a draft where they drafted Jeremy Lamb. I forget who they drafted. They had like 12, 14, and 16 in that draft. And they drafted Jeremy Lamb. I remember that. They drafted one other guy. I can't remember who it was. When you have that plethora of picks, you can take swings like that. If that's the only first-round pick, if Cam Whitmore were the only first-round pick that they had that year and they didn't have one the year before and they don't have one the year after, that's the only bite at the apple you get, and you take a chance on an attitude guy and it doesn't work out. And they're drafting him in a 3-year period where they're drafting 5 other guys in the first round. You know, so I don't have a big issue with that either.
Objectively, the biggest thing to worry about right now with the Rockets is because everything looks great about it other than the whole injury dynamic.
Yeah.
That's where I'm really intrigued by the way that I think the Rockets have behaved in such a way that, we realize there are some potential injury issues or age issues.
Yep.
So they bring in Capella to it's not like they're going to try to get 3 big men on the floor. They bring in Capella, who's a perfect complement to a guy like Steven Adams, who you're going to try to load manage throughout the season. So you can still play with your 2 big men lineup plus 7-foot-tall Kevin Durant.
Hey, man, that would be fun, though, if they trotted.
Actually, 3 big men plus Kevin Durant.
Yes.
On the floor.
Yeah, I saw LP working on his 3-point shot. I saw some footage. He plays at the small forward for you, and then you throw Adams and Capella just as on a whim, just to see how it worked. I think they kind of stumbled into this Adams and Şengün thing a little bit last year. I don't know that they were planning on that being an outstanding lineup for them last year. You know,
it's victory through geometry right there.
That's what it is.
You know, we're going to play the game. I don't know how tall. If you're 7 foot tall and you got your hands over your head, what is that, at 9 feet or so?
Yeah, gotta be. Right?
Yeah, we're going to play the game at 9 feet above
that
ground.
That surface.
And, yes, go ahead. We're just going to pass. You want ball movement?
Yep.
We're just going to have 4 7-footers out there tossing the ball around.
Yeah, that's right.
Clint Capella, the shortest, I believe, above their heads. Try to get us, shorties.
We are redefining the phrase, get on our level. Our level is
at nine and a half feet. Euclidean geometry. Yes.
That's right. That's right. Here's Rafael Stone. He was asked, does the Capella signing show a bigger willingness to go with big lineups?
The Clint Capella signing, does that sort of signal a willingness to go more double big next year?
For sure. We loved that lineup once we discovered it last year. We thought it was really, really effective for us. Also, Clint just adds something we don't have in terms of being kind of a center who can move a little bit easier on the perimeter, also as a lob threat. Finally, we just think depth is super important, and as we're trying to make it through the season, we don't want there to be huge drop-offs. So we did not anticipate going into free agency that we would be able to get Clint, but we're ecstatic when that materialized.
I love his use of the word discover for the Adams Şengün lineup, like it was plutonium or something, like, or gravity or electricity.
The discovery of that lineup,
we discovered, because it does feel like they kind of stumbled upon it a little bit. Like, oh wow, this is like champagne was not a thing that was the person who invented champagne didn't set out to invent champagne. They did some sort of mix and like, oh wow, this is carbonated and it's pretty good. I like it.
I always for some reason, I can't remember. There was some conversation I had long ago about, like, Clint Capella, if he could develop a three-point shot. This can't be correct. Right?
I hope you weren't initiating that conversation.
No. It was, yeah, we were just messing around with okay. it. I think it was something. Clint Capella had improved his shooting in some regards, or his free throw shooting. So we're like, yeah, but just imagine if he's taken 0 3-point attempts in his career.
Yeah, that
is good for you, Clint.
Now that you mention it, there was a time where Hack Capella was a thing.
And
him working on his free throws would get a ton of people who were at practice. That was a big iPhone thing, man. Yeah. Let's get out the iPhone and video Clint shooting his free throws. Yeah.
It was in his second season when he had 35 starts. That was the first time he had any starts. He shot 37.9% from the free throw
line. From the free throw line.
And he worked it all the way up. That was the discussion because he had worked it all the way up to 64% in 2018-19. I think that was when I started wondering, like, hey, all right, now let's
keep going.
Let's stretch it out to three.
Let's keep going like Thelma and Louise holding hands together, driving off the cliff. Let's go.
It'll be the ultimate weapon.
Yes, man. Yeah. Hey, man, if Manute Bol can develop a three-point shot, so could Clint Capella. Manute Bol was shooting threes by the end of his career.
He's had a few seasons above 50% from the three-point line. He was 60%.
From the free throw line.
Free throw line, yeah.
You said 3-point line. Okay, so
I did?
Yes.
Free throw line.
Free throw
Astros.
Line. Make sure.
So 2 years ago he was 60%. 3 years ago he was 60%. 2 years ago he was 63%. Reverted to 53% last year. But yeah, he's gotten that in order.
It's all right. And he's not, look, he is souped up Jock Landale on this team. That's his role. Like, he's big man coming in for 15, 20 minutes, if I had to guess. And to your point, Steven Adams insurance. All right.
I just want to get him a 3-point attempt.
I do too now.
Year.
You've got me invested.
Are you
going to
blow out win or something? Dish it out. He'll be wide open
get
at the arc.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's checking him. Yeah. Nobody's getting into his landing space. All right. That was Raphael Stone. Good to hear from the Rockets GM. We'll hear from him in headlines as well. We got one more cut from Raphael Stone we'll get to in headlines. Astros lose last night, but we get a couple of innings from one of the pitchers that might be coming back. This is a good one. So we'll have that for you coming up in headlines as well.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
Oh, sorry. Seth and I were talking about... Sorry about that, Ben. Ben, how long did I have my headphones off for while the music was playing?
Probably like 5 seconds.
Oh, wasn't that bad? Okay.
We're talking about that commercial where they said, do you think astronauts fight over elbow room? Probably. Yeah. Which, I know they're joking, but I feel listen to it literally. Like, yeah, no, I'm guessing they don't, actually. Yeah.
I would hope I would hope they have that part tightened up.
There's a certain amount of training that goes into this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's not like they're up orbiting the Earth and all of a sudden Buzz Aldrin is the guy that... Turns out Buzz Aldrin's the guy who in a window seat will try to take both armrests. Yeah. You're like, no. Yeah. No, that's middle seat gets both armrests. Yeah,
they're not on a puddle jumper to Kansas City. They're going to the moon. You know,
Buzz Aldrin cranking his seat back right at takeoff.
Noted
right
jerk.
Yeah,
he cranks his seat back. Oh, we had seat back people on our flight going to our vacation, like right in our laps, man. Right.
I just go into every flight figuring if somebody puts their seat down in front of me, I'm cool with it. Just don't whip it back.
Yeah.
Like you're playing Hi-Li or something.
That's right.
Like, can you ease it back? Maybe like turn your head a little bit to give me some warning and then ease
Good call.
Back into it.
Good call. Good
give me
call.
Some foreplay. Yeah.
If you're wondering why we're wasting time on this right now when it's headlines, it's because there are very few headlines today. But let's get to them. Astros lose last night to the Guardians 7-5. And the worst part about this is the Guardians came into this series ice cold. 10 in a row they've lost or had lost till last night. and they'd only scored 15 runs. I'm as upset about the 7 runs as I am the loss, that they gave up 7 runs to this team that had scored 15 total in the last 10 games. Right.
And again, for anybody that wants to say, see, Seth, I told you so, they played down to the level of the competition. No, nothing about this team makes sense right now. If you're going to tell me that somehow, oh, yeah, Colton Gordon is your rock-solid dude that you expect to go down there and mow everybody down, no. Sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. Yeah. Sometimes it'll be against the Guardians, and sometimes it'll be against a better team where he'll have the good performance. But it's just, you had minor leaguers all over the place last night.
Yeah.
You had Altuve playing second base when he's a natural left fielder. Like, all these things. But as far as guys who... like, who played down to the level of the competition last night? I guess Altuve, because he was 0-for-4.
Yeah.
You know, Paredes had a home run. It's just nothing about them makes sense. Yeah, they're going to drop some games to bad teams.
Yep.
At some point, they're going to lose a series. And in my mind, it's just as likely that it could be to the Guardians as it could be to the Mariners or whomever else.
Yep.
It's just nothing about this team makes sense. So last night's loss really doesn't freak me out all that much. You look at the lineup going into the night, and it was a getaway day on a home opener.
It was a getaway day lineup for sure. Well, what did you think about Gordon getting hit in the head with that line drive?
Yeah.
And he stayed in the game and then subsequently gave up the 3-run home run to Ramirez right after that.
Well, but then he did a push-up to show everybody that he was okay.
I guess.
So I give him credit for that.
They checked him for a concussion after the game. I do know that. I don't know what the outcome was.
Concussion symptoms don't show up until...
Later.
It was good that he got himself. He had the padding of the glove there, but that's still
kind
of like taking a bullet when you're wearing a bulletproof vest.
Still
it
hurts.
It can still hurt your ribs.
That's true.
Yeah. I've never done it myself.
We should give it a try.
We should.
Yeah. Yeah. Come shoot
as
Seth.
As we slowly transition into click grubbing whores,
yeah.
Then yes. That might go viral, Sean.
It definitely would go viral for sure.
Anybody out there who has experience with that stuff, what's the worst? I'm guessing a shotgun, like taking a slug to the chest is probably the most painful.
Yeah, does it leave a mark? You know, like, are there welts on the other side, that kind of thing?
Yeah, how high should I aim in terms of, like, actual ammunition when it's going against me?
Yeah, just give us the rundown.
Give me the ballistics report.
The ballistics report, yes.
Something where I get a bruise but not a broken rib.
There you go. Luis Garcia, Seth, threw 2 innings in Florida yesterday, struck out 4 dudes. How are we feeling about that? Can you get excited about Luis
Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I've compartmentalized to the point where the guys who are on the IL right now, especially the guys coming back from Tommy John, I try to not think about it. It's kind of like when you're a kid and you know you got a tetanus shot 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid, that sucks. I used to think about my tetanus shots like 3 years in advance. But you got to just set it off to the side.
Yep.
That's what I've done with all the Astros injured players. Okay, at some point it's gonna happen. I just don't want to think about it.
Here's where I'm at, and I'm happy for Luis Garcia, and I hope he comes back. That would be great. I'll take one of these guys. You know, they've got Javier down there, trying to get his stuff together. Luis Garcia, JP Francis, working on things, whatever. I'll take just one of them. Just one of them I would take. My thing is, once you've had a setback, I'm just, whenever you come back, you come back. Like, I get excited. Like, I shouldn't say that. McCullers didn't have any, starting this year, had no setbacks coming back. But his whole last 2 years has been one big setback.
The weirdest thing that's happened this year with the Astros is McCullers getting hit in the foot by a Shohei Ohtani hit, and somehow that being no big deal.
Right.
The guy got injured in the weight room a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just a random freak accident.
Like a muscle above his toe or something.
He takes one off the heel by Shohei Ohtani,
the greatest hitter
people
in baseball. Yeah.
Yes. Just a rocket line drive, takes one off the heel, and everything's okay.
It's
no big
good.
Deal.
It's all good. So Garcia, 2 innings in Florida, struck out 4 guys. I mean, there'll be plenty of injured guys for us to update you on as the week goes on. The Rockets, the Kevin Durant trade is official. Rafael Stone met with the media yesterday. We heard some from him in the previous segment, but we didn't get to this one. Will you be bringing in, because they're maybe a little thin at point guard right now, a lot of trust being placed in Reed Sheppard right now to be Fred VanVleet's backup. Are you going to be bringing in another guard?
I mean, I like our team as is. Well, we always look for opportunities to
do various things, but we're hard capped at the first apron and we have no space left. So I think very likely we'll enter the season looking very similar to the way we look at right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy answer. They don't have room to maneuver to do much at all. You know, I mean, trade maybe, I guess. You could trade or swapping out salaries. But they're trusting that Reed Sheppard is going to be a different guy in year two, I think. And he's going to be playing in the summer league. So you're going to get a good look at Reed Sheppard if you want to in the summer league the next couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, I mean, with the Rockets or any other team, it's always this way. It's that, yes, you have the promising young players, but at the same time, you don't, because they're still promising young players, it doesn't feel great thinking about leaning on them and depending on them.
That's
There's
right.
still things that could... The Rockets are at a point right now where I think the over-under on their win total for the season is 54.5
yep.
or so right now.
Yeah.
That injuries are the big dynamic. If I were going to take the under on the 54.5, it would be because I don't trust that Steven Adams and, well, Kevin Durant especially, that maybe that those guys are going to miss too much time. But by and large, what the Rockets have done with the roster is they've created some redundancy with they've already accounted for Steven Adams needing to be in the load managed
with Capella.
With Clint Capella.
Yep.
For Kevin Durant being load managed, then it's all right, Jabari Smith Jr. continuing to develop all your other wings and your young guys. They're really, really good and promising right now, but they just have to elevate yet again. And I trust that they will. Reed Sheppard, huge X factor.
It is fun.
We have no idea.
Yeah, it is fun to concoct some of the lineups that you can with all the versatility that they have. I mean, the fact that you got Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., and Tari Eason on this team and the different positions they can play, especially defensively, and that you've got three bigs. Obviously, Kevin Durant can just do whatever. Like, he can score from anywhere on the floor. And Şengün, obviously, is a really versatile big, at least offensively. I think it was Michael Shapiro for the Chronicle put together a piece. Like, he was just messing around with different lines. He had, like, the five most fun lineups the Rockets could trot out there. And it is really – they have put together – Raphael Stone and Ime Udoka have put together a really deep team with a ton of versatility, with better shooting than they had last year, Durant alone. And if Reed Sheppard can start shooting the way they know he can shoot when they drafted him with the third overall pick, it gets really fun. And Finney Smith coming in here now, I should mention him. So it's really good. Jalen Green posted on Instagram, by the way, yesterday. He said, H-Town.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm surprised I missed that. H-Town. You know how much I love the gram.
Yeah. H-Town, and you're a big Jalen Green follower, I'm sure. Mm. H-Town, thank you for everything. The love and support from day one is some I'll never forget. Number one finger. It's forever with the number four, and then with the H's up. The H is up emoji.
I'm impressed that he managed to mumble his way through the written words the way he mumbles his way through the actual spoken word. They say you should write the way you speak.
He does.
For clarity, and that's what he did. What did he say, some instead of something?
He said the support and love from day one is some I'll never forget. S-U-M.
Credit voice to text for getting that right.
Yeah.
Love and support is some I'll never forget.
Yes. Let's see here. Cracker McBuckets. Yes, that's who Reed Sheppard is. He's Cracker McBuckets.
Cocaine Curry.
Cocaine Curry. Okay, this is funny.
He's not. You know what? We've got two guys on this team. This is the biggest weakness with the Rockets. We've got two guys on this team that have consciously turned down two of the greatest potential nicknames of all time. Kevin Durant turned down the Slim Reaper.
Yeah.
Said, nope, I don't want to be known as the Slim Reaper. God knows
name.
Why.
Yeah.
Maybe it was God, but God knows why. And then Reed Sheppard turns down Cocaine Curry.
Yeah, this is the first question.
Turned his nose up to something he should have been face down in a pile of.
Carrying his face into. All right, last text before we hit the break. Based on the fact that Gordon was deemed okay to stay in the game by the medical staff, Colton Gordon, that is, by the medical staff, I'm going to assume that he woke up this morning without a head.
Massive head trauma. I know. Oh, I'll tell you what. Brandy and I had just been watching Shogun before the game. I think it's on Hulu. So, it's about back in 1600 Japan.
Yeah.
And there's a fair amount of decapitations in
yes.
this show.
Yeah.
A little seppuku action. And so I come fresh off of watching a character get decapitated, right into Colton Gordon getting hit in the head. And that's exactly where my mind went. Yeah.
Shogun. Yeah.
MRI showed that there was no bleeding. They failed to mention that. Yeah, the MRI was just the head alone. Let's place Colton Gordon's head in the MRI machine and see if there's any. No fractures.
He's good.
No fractures. Everything's good.
Good to go. All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. All right, I love this. Every year ESPN gets with some executives, some coaches, some scouts to rank the players. They do a position a day for like a week and a half. They started yesterday with the running backs. Are the Texans represented? Should they be represented? Are they on this list? And what other positions do we expect to see Texans on as this thing gets rolled out over the next few weeks? We'll get to that coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.